everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the GVG Cast, where we hang out, chat with all of you, and see what's been happening over the past week. I'm your host, Derek Bittner, and this episode I am joined by the illustrious Ash Paulson, because I can't say his name, and the ever wonderful Steve Bowling. How are you two doing this evening?
I am good.
I have been better, I won't lie. As you all know, or some of you know, I had an allergic reaction to something I ate yesterday, and I'm still kind of feeling the effects from that. I don't know what it was. I went to go see Advent Children the other night in theaters. They're doing that theatrical run of Advent Children Complete for the release of Rebirth next week. And I picked up some shawarma on the way home from a place I haven't eaten at, but, it, you know, I've eaten shawarma plenty of times. I've never had an issue with it, but something in it must have triggered some allergy I have, because a few hours later, I started getting really feverish, itchy all over, and I'm still, you know, just really tired. And so I'm still kind of feeling the effects of that, not as badly, but then I also, on top of that, because I'm clumsy, took a bad fall, and so my ribs are really sore. But, you know, I'm living. I'm alive. I'm breathing. That is what's important.
Let's try to keep it that way, because my God.
Yeah.
I mean, Advent Children is not the best movie, but there's not no reason to fall apart, man.
I know, really, right? It was awesome, though, being, you know, I was there for a late night screening, so there weren't that many people, but you could tell the people who were there were, like, hardcore fans like us, and so they were, you know, laughing at all the moments that you would normally laugh, like Dilly Dally Shilly Shally, and, you know, the parts with Zach, people were cheering, and Seferino. You were there with hardcore fans, and it was a lot of fun.
I guess that's the enjoyment. You're there for the other people, really. Honestly, yeah, I wish it just got a redub.
So with the new cast. I gotta ask you, Ash, because I was trolling Twitter looking at Final Fantasy stuff because I have no willpower.
Be careful.
I know. I've muted Rebirth.
Okay, good.
But I've heard that at the LA showings, a friend of mine who works at Square Enix specifically posted that they had something at some of those showings for Rebirth fans. Did something Rebirth related happen at your screening?
So what sucks about this is there was supposed to be 40 minutes of like exclusive content, like developer interviews talking about how Advent Children, you know, inspired some of the stuff in Rebirth, blah blah blah. But they didn't say that it started early. It said get here at the showtime, which was 9:45, and I arrived on time. But it was already half over. Like, the exclusive stuff was already half over. They started it early.
Oh, so
whatever that they might have been referring to, I may have missed it, but I did get about half of the developer interviews talking about Rebirth and Advent Children. They replayed the final Rebirth trailer on the big screen, which is really cool to see. And then they just showed some gameplay from the demo, but that's about it.
Gotta ask, did you guys see the wild-ass giveaway that Square Enix is doing in the UK for Rebirth?
No.
I saw a billboard, right. I thought, but...
Yeah, so the billboard has Cloud with the Buster Sword on his back, right? But if you look closely, the Buster Sword is completely made out of DualSense controllers.
What? Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
And they're doing a giveaway where you can win one of the DualSenses that made up the Buster Sword. So, like, a bunch of people are going to win these DualSenses that were part of a Buster Sword billboard.
I hope they're enclosed so they don't get, you know... There's the elements out there, so hopefully,
right. Me too.
Hopefully, there's that. I don't know.
That's so cool, though.
That's one of those things that's gonna pop up on console variations in like 20 years.
I want a PS1 colored DualSense, like a PS1 gray style DualSense. I think they gifted one for like certain execs over at Sony.
And they did it for Jim Ryan. They gave him a PS5, which I found really funny because they gave him a PS5 in a PS1 themed box. And it was a PS1 colored PS5, but it was after the Slim came out, but they gave him the old one instead. And then
they'd already started making it before.
PS5 themed DualSense.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that I reconcile my jealousy over it by telling myself that it had to have been done by like one of those third-party businesses that colors consoles aftermarket, and it wasn't like an officially internally designed PS5 for Jim. Also, I don't like Jim Ryan, so I prefer that story.
They didn't go too far out of their way.
Klaxon, thanks for sharing the 150 bits. And yes, that was definitely a joke made quite a bit at my expense after the allergic reaction. Mito Green thinks I might have caught geostigma. Yes, there's definitely some geostigma jokes related to my allergic reaction.
Geostigma from Shwarma.
Oh my God.
Yeah, got geostigma from Shwarma. But thank you for the bits, Klaxon.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still getting used to Twitch.
Yeah,
Derek is seasoned.
Oh no, yeah. Thankfully, I run my own thing, so I'm very used to this. This is old hat for me. But yeah, we've moved the GVG Cast to Twitch. It just made sense in the grand scheme of things for the channel because we love you all. We love doing this, but let's be honest. It doesn't pull in huge numbers, and unfortunately, YouTube rewards consistency, and we need to have that.
So, I will be honest. I've heard colloquially through other YouTube friends that when you have a video that performs poorly, and you know, unfortunately, that's just the only way you can describe GVG Cast viewer numbers on YouTube. That it then takes your next video and recommends it less, right? Like. And I don't know why. Nobody knows why, really. The algorithm is some weird, incomprehensible, magical thing. But I can tell you as the person who books sponsors, which is why you see my face in so many of our ads, the person who books sponsors for GVG, I have literally been told, like, we're going to give you less money because GVG Cast. Like, they're like... Because they take our channel view counts on average, because they can't see what we see. And they just, you know, they go, oh, well, you've got this one series of videos that never does well. So we're going to offer you significantly less money for your ads because we don't know if you're going to put it on this GVG Cast video. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
All right. that hurts, but okay.
Yeah, that definitely sucks. So it's just unfortunate, and obviously it's a lot easier for all of our subscribers to see it. But you know, I'm so happy that so many of you have migrated over to Twitch. We got so many follows in the lead up to this, so that's all appreciated. And we've gotten a real outpouring of support because this is my first time using the GVG Twitch. I don't have any kind of special notifications set up or anything like that, like Daniel and Brandon have for Good Vibes Arcade. But I can tell you all that the VODs will exist, but they exist on a separate channel called Good VODs Gaming. Good name. That's where all of Daniel and Brandon's VODs go as well. So you can head over there and you'll be able to see all of their content. And from now on, all of the GVG Cast as well. And along those same lines, as far as support, we hit a hype train. So that was cool.
Nice.
From so many people donating. Fangs the Wolf with a tier 3 subscription. So holy crap.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And then they just got even more generous by giving out 5 community subs. Johaman gave out a community sub. Brendan1H has resubscribed as well. Here's the cool thing about bringing GVG a cast over here as well. Surmount, thank you very much for the two gift subs as well. And Max and Lee, thanks you very much for your gift for your sub. The great thing about this, because we have now 120 people watching, we're going to get this channel to partner pretty quick if we keep this consistent. That average is going to skyrocket, and we're going to actually help out our Twitch quite a bit and, you know, have more people aware of other of those things. So yeah, I think this is going to be a net positive in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, we've been talking about making... Oh, go ahead, Ash, sorry.
Oh, I'll say that was actually a secondary reason for the move, because we knew, of course, that not everybody would be happy with the move of GVG Cast over to Twitch, but like Steve was saying earlier, not only did we have to do it for the algorithm, but to be frank, Brandon and Daniel had been carrying this Twitch channel mostly on their own backs since its inception, and we want to use it too and help them out. They've been working so hard on Twitch with Good Vibes Arcade, trying to get the channel to partner, and we want to support them and help them and, you know, start using our Twitch more too. So that was kind of a secondary reason to do this as well. And like you were saying, Derek, already the viewers here are great, and we really seriously appreciate all of you, you know, coming over from YouTube with us and still watching the show and hanging out with us on Friday evenings. We really appreciate you.
And depending on how big this gets, we might end up deciding to just do the reactions over here as well and just put like highlights over on YouTube. in the way a lot of other channels do. We're obviously still deciding on a lot of this stuff. So,
right. Yeah, there's a lot to figure out. We've wanted to grow Twitch for a long time. It's something I know the three of us on the show tonight have been talking about for months. And so, you know, it's a good time to do this. I think it's a good place to do it. I've always wanted to get more into Twitch streaming and understanding it, because I know Derek's old hat at this. He's a pro. Brandon and Daniel are obviously pros. They've been handling it for us for a long time. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm really excited to be on Twitch and for us to, you know, continue to grow this out, because it would be nice to hit partner on this channel that's been around for probably longer than many of you watching right now realize. But and Brandon and Daniel have privately expressed to us that they would love for us to have more of a presence on the channel and do more stuff here on Twitch. So it's kind of a win-win for us, you know, and as well as you guys, because it means that we'll have more engagement here. I know Brandon and Daniel have built up an amazing community here, and we're just going to make it bigger.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And if I could plug myself, because a lot of people,
I was going to ask, yes, how your subathon went.
Well, it hasn't happened yet. My subathon is tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. So, yeah. So in case you're not aware, beginning of the month, basically, long story short, we discovered a rat infestation in our crawl space, and in order to get rid of them and fix the damage was $4,000. That's a lot of money. So I'm
not
doing
a amount of dollars.
Yes. So I am doing a subathon over on my Twitch channel, which is Bitnerd Games. You can go check that out. I'll pop that in here.
If you're on desktop, it's on the right, I think. I think all our channels are linked. I even have a channel never used.
But yeah,
I have one I never
used. Yeah, but there it is. Bitnerd Games is put in the chat right there. And I'm going to be doing a Yakuza 0 stream where I have a, you know, massive goal to hit. And unlike my other past subathons where I, like, 12 hours is my max for one day. No, until I will keep going until you people stop donating, and every sub and bit will extend that timer further. And I will just keep streaming and streaming and streaming all the way through Yakuza 0. And, it's going to be, quite fun. I have a lot of, sub goals to have, fun with. One of the ones that I think people will very much enjoy, I think, or get a real laugh at. I ordered something special that I will put on in the course of this.
Oh man.
If we get to a certain amount,
oh boy,
I'm getting a temporary back tattoo.
That's amazing.
how much does that cost, Derek?
How many bits
do I need to get that?
This three pack, for the back tattoo, I forget what I have it set to. I think it's like it's pretty reasonable. If I had 350 gift subs, I think it is like 350 subs, whether resubscriptions or gift subs or whatever. I will wear that back tattoo. I bought an outfit, so I'm dressed up like Kiryu. I have a eye patch that I will wear if somebody requests mini games, certain mini games with bit donations. And I have, Ichiban's wig from that Like a Dragon crossover that I'll wear at a certain point as well. There's a karaoke thing where I will sing karaoke if we reach a certain point. And I have I've told from friends, because I've never played Yakuza 0 before, that I will dance to Friday Night if we reached a certain point.
I love it.
So.
So here's the important question, though. How much to make that back tattoo permanent, though? We got a live stream you getting it.
No. If that's $10 million. I am not a tattoo guy.
All right, you heard it here, folks. $10 million to get him have that permanent tattoo made.
Get him 35,000 subs, and then we'll drag him down there ourselves.
Oh, God.
Exactly, I'll fly out and assault my friend for you.
So would Amy
I won't really
that?
Do that.
Would she be into
Please
getting a
don't
giant back tattoo, Derek? Would that be a
I mean she I probably wouldn't be, but she would be into the $10 million, so I
you
think
know,
she'd I
you
think
know
she'd
what?
Live
I
with
know.
it.
Worth it. Worth
I'll
it.
put this up for our own sake. If we get this channel to 3,000 subs before the end of summer, I will tattoo the GVG logo somewhere on my body.
Somewhere.
That's
for 5,000
we'll
subs.
Yet.
I'll let you choose where.
That is a heck of a goal to reach. I gotta say that. Oh my god.
I'll fucking do it. I'm not kidding around.
Well, first time chat from ESAX Games saying BRB. They're consulting with their brokerage for a loan, so it may happen, man.
Oh my god!
Please send that. Please send that to Derek right now. He needs it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I
so
mean, if you want the
yeah,
DVG
that starts
if you
at
get Derek to.
Yeah, that starts at 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. So look out for that. I'd love if you guys could make it and help out in any little way, or even just spread the word. It's appreciated because we're going for it. We're going for it.
I love it. Make him play through all of Yakuza 0 through 6 in one go. I believe
and,
in you, chat.
Oh,
I will tell you that Derek does not mess around. He wore a Zero suit last time we talked about one of these.
He did.
It's seared
yeah.
into my memory forever.
I wore a Zero suit for the Metroid Dread subathon, and I for the TMNT subathon I did, I had a menu that the chat could choose from that I would try various Michelangelo pizzas. And they are as bad as you think they are.
Oh, God. I can't even. That's like what? With peanut butter and anchovies and
yes.
hot fudge and stuff, right?
Anchovies
oh.
suck. They are awful.
I do not like anchovies at all. I am not a fan. But speaking of food, though, did you see what I posted in live audience chat earlier, Steve?
I did not.
I missed it.
I should have tagged you, too. I tagged Caitlin because she is our resident weird food trier. In the community, but
I was gonna say, whoa, don't steal my title. Oh,
well,
the chizza.
Yeah.
Oh, I did hear about
Listen,
this.
I saw this independently of your post, and I immediately
okay.
turned to Nick, or rather, I should say, I sprang forth from the bathroom where I was looking at it, and I was like, we need to get this.
This is this is the new generation's double down.
Yep,
oh,
I tried a double down for the first time last year.
Really?
I went
I
to go see Nick, and we got one.
I
they
refuse.
Have them in Colorado, at least. It was bad. Capital B bad.
Did you eat the whole thing?
I did.
Oh, no way.
I did when I had it years ago when I was in, like, college. Oh. But, yes, I did eat it because it's still just chicken. It's chicken with crap in the middle. So you pull it apart and have two different meals. That's all you do.
Oh, it's just I feel like it just lowers your life expectancy by a year.
It does.
Least.
It does. Ugh. I felt my arteries hardening as I was eating it. Because see, I wasn't as smart as Derek. I wasn't on some Bing Brave moves. I just ate it like a sandwich, and I was suffering with every bite.
I took the first like three bites as a sandwich, and I'm like, I'm gonna. There's a smarter way to do this.
Yeah,
it was unbelievably big.
Azran says the chizza is old news, though. They've done it before.
Oh,
if that's
okay.
true, I haven't seen it before.
The chizza is nationwide starting Monday.
Oh.
I've got the inside track on this. It is fried chicken, after all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes nationwide, but there have been test markets. The same way I talked about this on the post show a while back, that McDonald's is doing that like weird, wacky chain in Illinois right now. KFC tested this cheats out, and I really, really want to know how the response was good enough that they're like, yeah, we're doing it.
Well,
what test market did they go to?
The thing is, they only have to have it for a limited time because it's like you have it up for like a month or two weeks, make it limited time. So people are like, well, I got to try it because I can blog about this. This is a YouTube video. Snapchat short or whatever you want to do with it.
True. I need to I will post because I'm definitely getting it Monday. I don't know why I'm lining up on launch day for chicken pizza, but I will get it on Monday and I'll post a patron exclusive because I'm not gonna post that crap on the main YouTube channel, but I will post a patron exclusive short where I try it and give my opinion because I have to. But I'm not looking forward to it, not even a little bit.
I mean, Vedron makes a good point, live audience. They created the chicken parmesan. Congrats. They're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
True.
point.
It is a chicken parm with pepperoni on it, essentially.
It's just a thing with Americans and fast food. It's like cultural events for us for some reason. Like every time McDonald's brings the McRib back, it's like a cultural event for whatever reason. Same
you know
thing
what
with like
KFC
that
should
is pressed cat meat.
You know what?
I've never had it myself.
It'd be too much, but I'm surprised they've not done it yet. KFC, why have they not done a chicken and waffle sandwich? Waffle as buns, chicken in the middle, and some good gravy and syrup in the middle. Bam! You got a good chicken and waffle sandwich from KFC.
Chicken and waffles is so good too when done right.
Yeah, good stuff. Good. I'm getting hungry now. I haven't really eaten very much today. I'm getting kind of hungry thanks to you guys. And thanks, well, I guess thanks to KFC too. Although I don't really want to eat a chizza, I think I'm good on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm getting hungry.
Away from food, though, what?
How dare you?
Yeah, I know exactly. How dare I do that? What have we been playing? Like, what are we up to? What's been on the schedule for us?
Nintendo's been keeping me busy.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. With Mario versus Donkey Kong and the Big Rip Breakaway and.
I picked up Mario versus Donkey Kong. I picked up Penny's Big Breakaway.
Oh, yeah.
I picked up Pentiment. I picked up pretty much everything except the Suica game DLC because I don't have Suica game.
There's a bundle now.
Oh, well, I guess I'll be doing that. But
is DLC multiplayer? Is that what it is?
It's local multiplayer. Okay. So they said online is coming at a later date, and I have Nick here, so I'll probably pick up Suica game and do multiplayer tonight. But I also played a lot of Side Order. I cleared Side Order is what I should say. And I loved it. It did not give a strong first impression. I wasn't sure I was even going to like it when I started it. But then it quickly became where I just couldn't put it down until I rolled credits. So kudos to Nintendo. I still have some misgivings about the DLC, particularly around pricing. But I do think it's a solid package. I think it's really fun to play. And yeah, looking forward to jumping into Rebirth and what's coming outside of Nintendo for the next couple of weeks.
Brandon may have sold me on Side Order eventually. It's like, my thing is, when I see or hear the words roguelike or roguelite, my brain just shuts off. I'm not into roguelikes or roguelites. I'm just not. I'm not saying they're bad genres, just not for me. But Brandon also says he is not a fan, but that he loved of roguelikes, but he still loved playing Side Order at the preview event he did. And then, of course, playing the full release now. So apparently it's a roguelike that can appeal to people who don't like roguelikes, which is all I need.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
Well, I think in general, there's a lot of skill carried over from general Splatoon, because usually with roguelites, you hear about it taking 7, 8, 10, 15, 20 attempts to get to the end. With Side Order, I've heard a lot of people beat it in 3 attempts.
Wow.
It took me a lot more than 3. But I will say that I was picking a bad loadout, not realizing it. Because you get to pick your weapon loadout, which is, I think, is one of the major differentiating factors. Like, you don't pick up new weapons as you go through. You do pick up power-ups and such. But oftentimes your loadout is going to be the key differentiating factor, like which super you have, which main weapon you have, which bomb you have, you know. I think that Nintendo has done a lot to make the genre more accessible than ever with Side Order. And I do think from a design perspective, that makes it really successful. You know, I think it's going to get people into roguelites that previously were not. The main issue I have with it when I talk about pricing is that, I mean, we just got God of War Ragnarok Valhalla's DLC, which is essentially a very similar concept for free. And I'm like, well, you know, if you release this 6 months before Valhalla, then I would have no problem throwing down $25, $30 for it. But after that, where Sony Santa Monica just gave us a similar mode free of charge, like, that's a lot harder to sell.
My bigger issue with that is that the first half of the DLC is something wholly uninteresting to me. It's purely aesthetics focused, where it's like, here's the original area that you can go to. And that's cool, but it doesn't sell me on the DLC. And
yeah.
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 If you
I'll
marked,
play it eventually.
if you separated this DLC side order from the expansion pass and sold it for maybe $10 as opposed to the, what is it, 20 or 30 that they're
I
asking
think
for the expansion
25.
pass? 25? Yeah. I mean, to me, this screams that it should have been free on NSO, the same way Octo Expansion was.
Right.
I
I'm
think
hoping that by the time I get around to it, maybe it will be.
I
Possibly.
wonder.
It's hard to
Because I'll
say.
be honest, I feel like fans who did pick it up would be justifiably upset
True.
That's true.
if
You'd have to
Nintendo
wait
made
like
it free later on.
you have to wait like a
Yeah,
year or
good
two.
point.
Like, but by the time they gave Octo Expansion, it was it was like 4 years out.
Yeah,
So.
that's true too.
So.
It's a really hard decision to make. I mean, 'cause yeah, I do remember being like, "Oh, I already bought it." And I wasn't that mad because it had been a long time since I bought it. Whereas with this, I imagine the Switch, you know, even if you listen to the most recent rumors, the Switch 2 is only 1 year away. So I don't know how much time they would have for it to be to become free and still be relevant, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, right.
That said, if you want to spend the 25 bucks, it is a real fun time.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you,
I'll
Ash?
play it eventually. I think you know what I'm playing,
Oh, I
right?
know what you're playing,
I
but
think
for
you
everybody at home that
yeah.
might not know.
Right.
Oh, I don't
So
know.
I am still desperately trying to finish Final Fantasy 16 before Rebirth hits next week. I'm
Ooh.
not sure if I'm gonna make it. I'm getting
You're not gonna make
closer, but
it.
I know, right?
No, you're
I'm
not.
on I'm on my way to the fourth Mother Crystal, and so I'm pretty far in there for sure. I think the progress bar, or little progress thing on the PlayStation UI says I'm like 68% of the way there. So, I'm not super far, but I'm not gonna make it. But this game, man, I just have completely turned around on it. Like, man, the pre-release marketing trailers did zero for me. But I love this game. Just, and it's not perfect. There are some definite pacing problems. And the combat's a little bit mindless. It's a little bit too easy. But man, the story, the characters, the music, the world, the Clive is like a goated FF protagonist now. I love Clive. Like I am, my wife and I both are so into this game. And if I play without her, she wants me to catch her up on cutscenes. So we're like I'm watching cutscenes back with her that she misses because she's so into the story. It's really good.
I've
That's
played
so
up.
encouraging.
I mean, I've played up until like I stopped. I'm on the way to the first Mother Crystal, is where I stopped
Me too.
recently. Yeah. It's got some pacing issues
I'm
for
hanging out
sure.
at a
Yeah.
brothel.
So
Solidarity, Derek.
you are right before something majorly cool and
I
wild that
figured
happens.
that was the case, and I stopped specifically because it was getting late and I had to do other things. So there's that. I've enjoyed what I've played. I definitely want to get to it, but I know there's no way I can beat it before Rebirth. And once Rebirth comes out, my sleep schedule is gonna tank. I'm gonna find every moment I can to play that game.
I really
Derek, are
don't
you
want to
planning on
drop to me.
platinuming Rebirth?
It really depends
Since you
on
did the
what
last one.
I know. It really depends on what they put in there, like how much it is, because it Rebirth is bigger. Like I put 100 hours into Remake, and that's only a 40-hour RPG. This is a 100-hour RPG. Oh God, how much time do I have to put into it to platinum it? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like. One of the reasons I didn't pick up Infinite Wealth when it launched is because I knew I wouldn't be able to finish it before Rebirth, and I didn't want to drop it. And I really don't want to drop 16. I'm genuinely invested, but I can't wait on Rebirth. I can't. So I don't know. I'm trying. I don't think I'm going to make it, and I will finish 16 eventually. Maybe I can play them concurrently and finish 16 concurrently. I don't know. But people act like this game killed their firstborn. Like there is so much negative resentment towards 16, I think mainly just for being an action game, which I will admit, character action is not what I want out of Final Fantasy in the future. That's not my favorite choice for the gameplay, but it's still a very good character action game, and everything else around it is so peak that, like, I don't know, people act like this game was just awful, and it's not true. It's just really good. But yeah, pacing, some of the side quests are a bit fetchy. Pacing is up and down, but the good stuff is like, really, really, really peak Square Enix.
Oh,
Let
for
me,
sure.
okay. I want to come back now that we know what folks are playing. I have to ask this because I have not watched it, but I am the worst kind of YouTuber. I'm the one that reads the comments. And so
Oh,
I was reading comments today, and this specific commenter didn't call out who they were talking about, which is a choice. But
no.
they mentioned that one of us, and I imagine it's one of the two of you,
Oh.
has played 90 hours of Tears of the Kingdom, but is, quote, according to the YouTube, or according to the commenter, nowhere close to beating it. Who is
That,
it?
you mean, how did I
It's
beat it?
Derek, really?
Because
Yeah, I beat it.
I was on that. I don't know how I put in 90 hours. It might have just been on in the background while I was watching Kai, because I was constantly trying to play while watching Kai, and that's not really possible. But I take my time. I go from place to place to place, really take a look at things, and I've been explored a lot of the dark underworld, and yeah. So I've played it.
I'll be honest, like Nick and I were talking about it today because I read the comment out loud. I was like, who was that? And then I decided, thanks to my own biases, that it was Ash. I was like, it has to be
No,
Ash.
nope.
Ash takes
Because
a
Ash
long
finished
time.
it. Ash finished it. Finished it.
And I even
I
told you how
forgot.
much I loved the ending. Like it
I
was
forgot about
so,
that.
yeah. Now it took me a long time because I did
Nick was
everything I
quick to
wanted
rush to
to.
your proverbial defense, Ash, because I assumed it was you and said he probably just
Oh.
left it paused.
There were some of that, but I also wanted to do like everything I wanted to do before finishing it, right? So I did all the
Yeah.
shrines, I did all the
And
caves.
that's where
So it
I'm
took
at.
me, yeah.
That's fair.
But I
oh
want to
man.
I want to do what I did for Breath of the Wild, which is explore everything other than get all the Koroks.
Your ghost pals.
Yeah.
Oh, Koroks. Never mind. I
Yeah.
was gonna
Yeah.
say.
Koroks I didn't bother with. I got like 100 of them and called it quits. I'm like, I'm good with
John
that. I
got
don't need to get
all of them and photographed
that nice.
everything. Not in Tears of the Kingdom, but in Breath of the Wild. I remember him saying he did that, and I was like, what's wrong with you?
That man is crazy. I can't believe he did that. But
I
no, tear. If anything, I it's still just the ending and the final battle are living rent free in my head months later, because that was such a low point of Breath of the Wild for me. Like I just thought that final battle was such a wet fart at the end of an amazing game. But man, they talk about did the exact opposite with Tears of the Kingdom and did it right this time. What it I hope you get to
Well,
finish it, Derek. It's worth it.
I eventually will get
yeah.
back to it, but the thing is, there's been a constant stream of really cool things. Like, and right now, I switched over to Sea of Stars just because I had something smaller, and that's taken me how long. But Sea of Stars has
Oh,
also
yeah.
been such a weird game for me,
It's excellent.
where I'm engaged sometimes, and other times I'm bored as hell. Like, I'll be honest, people
Right.
praise this battle system, and it's fun for what it is. It doesn't change. It is the same throughout the entire game.
Yep.
You have the
I wish
same
there were more
four
support movements
skills,
there.
and the only time you're going to get new ones is, I'm not doing any spoilers on Sea of Stars.
Yeah, no spoilers, don't worry.
I would not do that. But it was just I'm want to see the end. I've put too much. It's sunk cost fallacy at this point. I am extremely close. I've just reached, I think I can say this, Skybase.
Yeah, okay.
So
You're getting there.
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where you want to talk about peaks and valleys. I think that has far more peaks and valleys than 16.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like once a certain point hit about 10 to 12 hours in, I was pretty along for the ride for the rest of the game. But I do agree that the gameplay battle-wise gets a little bit shallow, just because you don't learn more than four techs per character, and there are certain techs that are obviously way more useful than others. So yeah, but story-wise and just in terms of the journey and exploring the world, I was pretty into it from about st slow start, but about 10, 12 hours in, once a thing happens, I was like, oh, I'm into
Oh, for
this until
sure.
the very
It,
end.
and it definitely pulled me in at that part. It woke me up. But it's still like one of those things. It's like, I don't know. There's something off about the pacing of this game for me. And there's so many great elements. It's gorgeous. It has a great soundtrack. I absolutely get why people are so behind this game, but for whatever reason, it's just not 100% clicking with me. And I don't know. I can't
Sure.
put my finger on why.
Yeah.
That's fair.
For me, Sea of Stars has been a game that I jump into, play intensely for 1 or 2 days, and then I leave it for weeks. And then I'll just come back to it and play it some more later on. And I find that that's the relationship I want to have with that game. It's like a palate cleanser in between games I truly want to play. And right. I can't believe I didn't mention this when you asked me. I got to give a quick shout out to Helldivers 2. Absolutely not the type of game I thought that I would be obsessed with, but I cannot stop playing it.
You hear that from a lot of people. And I remember watching it and be like, oh, it looks fine. And you just hear everybody's like, no, this is amazing.
It is incredible, man. Like, I'm not kidding. So you play it solo, and I'm not going to lie, the solo experience just straight up sucks. Like, it is not fun to play on your own. You're constantly swarmed. You're getting the snot beat out of you. But you add even just one friend into that game, like someone you're comfortable talking to and playing with, and suddenly it transforms into one of the most engaging experiences you'll have. And it sounds on paper, like if you describe it, you're like, that game sounds miserable and I don't want to play it. But then you play it and you're like, I'm just going to go, I don't know, 7 more hours straight of playing it and then I'll put it down. Like, so... shout out to Sony. They sent me a code and they were like, hey, do you want to, like, and I'm always wary of this. I should say this, like, it's a little inside baseball, but I should say, whenever a publisher says, do you want more? Like, do you want more copies of the game? That to me is a big red flag. I'm always like, so it's bad then. So it's like a really bad game. And I mean, cause I'll be honest, like, I have been offered, and I won't name names because that's mean, but I've been offered many games where I've been offered just, how many codes do you want? We'll give you as many as you like. I'm like, that means I'm not going to have fun. So I'm just going to say no.
Oh, no.
But when Sony approached me for this, they did the same thing. They're like, how many, you know, would you like some extra codes so that you can play it with friends? We strongly suggest you play this with friends. And I was like, well, I know the boys based on the trailers. I was like, I know the rest of the guys aren't going to want to play this with me. So I was like, I hit up a couple of my friends and I was like, hey, you know, Sony did not say for once, like, because normally they're very like, they have to be people you work with. And this time they're like, we don't care. Again, red flag. But I was like, okay, you know, if you don't mind, I'll give one to one of my friends and one to one of my other friends. These are their names. And they're like, yeah, we don't care. We'll send them to you and you send them out to your friends. And it was all, you know, these are launch day codes. So we don't care. And I was like, okay, I'm braced for a bad time. And I got us together and we played and it was goddamn phenomenal. Like, I mean, it's like friendly fire is on and you're getting swarmed and you're getting killed. But when you're with your friends, you're just like shouting at each other, like, throw down an orbital strike. Get us out of here. Get to the shit. Like, it's chaotic in all the right ways. Like, your friends can and will shoot you to death by mistake. And it's just like, it becomes this chaotic mess. It's like if Fall Guys had guns and it's just...
Ooh,
it's beautiful, ugly chaos. Like, I went in fully expecting I'd just hate it, and it has quickly become like just my go-to because I swore off Street Fighter.
Why?
Because I hit diamond with Ryu, and I was like, that was such a stressful journey to get there that I'm like, God, I can't live with how elevated my heart rate becomes playing Street Fighter. So I'm like, I have to stick to casuals only from now on, which means I need something to fill the hole in my heart for my murderous intent. And so I'm like, Helldivers. I can drop onto a foreign planet and just light up everything I see and then be fine with, like, I promise you guys, I if you guys want to try it, I will try to get more copies of, because I promise it. You will look at it and you'll be like, not my game. And then you'll play it and you'll be like, I don't know how to put the controller down anymore. Like,
yeah,
I try it.
I'll hook you up. I'll figure it out because it is absolutely worth it. It is such a stupidly fun game. It's just like, you don't expect it to be. You can watch gameplay. You can listen to me talk about it and you'll be like, nah, not for me. And then you'll play it and you'll be like, I stand corrected. I don't know how much I love shooting aliens until I play this. Like,
yeah,
it's so good. So incredibly good. And I can't believe it. I'm shocked at how good it is. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like 500,000 people playing it concurrently on Steam or something like
servers
that.
Servers are having trouble. So,
you know, ironically, I've never had server trouble. And that's the weirdest thing. Like, I know that I have like God tier internet here, but I've never gotten kicked out of the game. I haven't had issues logging in. The only thing I've experienced is that my friends list like routinely doesn't load. People can add me as a friend in the game and then I just can't see them at all. Like, oh, I have to tell everybody I play with, I'm like, yeah, just find me on your friends list since yours works and then join me. That's fine. I'll never see you.
Like, the funny thing is, I've seen a couple of people ask this. Are we going to, since we didn't have a cast last week, we didn't get a chance to talk about the fact that Sony announced that they're really not having any big first party games in 2024. Which is really funny to me because they got this immediate unexpected hit with Helldivers.
Yeah. It's really funny to me. It makes me wonder what Sony classifies as a major IP. And to be fair, Helldivers is $40, which is, like, I assumed it was another $70 PS5 game because that's kind of the norm now. And when I saw it on the shop, I was like, $40? Like,
yeah,
it's worth more than that.
It's almost like mid-range games that don't cost as much is a good idea that mix things up. Right, and you might get the surprising, you know, a surprising hit out of it. What the hell?
We do have that rumor that Astrobot might be on the way. There might be like a full Astrobot game on the way later this year, which, yes, please. I would love that so much from Sony. That would be amazing if they did that. And I just would like to see them take on more, as you're saying, Vedran, more smaller scale projects. And like you guys are just saying, like, it doesn't only have to be these, you know, multi-million dollar AAA games that take years to come out. Obviously, those are welcome too. Big Horizon fan. I know you are too, Steve. But yeah. Spider-Man 2, awesome. I love those games. But like, also, I'd like to see some smaller stuff being pumped out in between those games as well. And I've said this for a long time. I miss PS1, PS2 era Sony when they were doing some more experimental stuff. Like they were doing Parappa and Fib Ribbon and like weird experimental stuff that they just don't really do anymore. And I miss that version of Sony, you know?
They got rid of all the people who do that. So
yeah, they got Japan Studio. They're gone. Like, yeah, they've... I just miss that era of experimental PlayStation, and I wish it would return.
Well, I mean, and I saw people asking us to do a discussion on the state broadly of AAA gaming, and I'm not going to go that far. But what I am going to say is I do feel like we've reached a point, like an inflection point with AAA development. And ironically, it seems like only Nintendo has AAA figured out at this point. Because, I mean, I'm not going to discuss, like, the Insomniac hack or the leaks, but one thing that did come out of all of that is the budgets for many internal Sony games, right? And you look at the literal hundreds of millions of dollars they spend to make some of these games, and you have to wonder if it's sustainable, right? If AAA dev is sustainable.
And the crazy thing is that, at least, and I have to assume that's going to be the same for Sony, but at least on the Microsoft side, it's like they've learned nothing, because during that talk, they basically hyped up the next console where they're like, it's going to be the best graphics yet. You'll be blown away. Look even more gorgeous. And it's like, so it's going to be even more expensive and take even longer to make. Good idea. Good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing is, you know, I was talking about this the other night. It's interesting how initially I thought that Nintendo, like, if you go back to the Wii U, like, right when the Wii U came out, I'm like, ooh, guys, like, what are you doing? Bad moves all around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thinking, like, your console is way underpowered, all this other stuff. But then Nintendo ends up delivering the Switch, which is infinitesimally small compared to the Wii U, and is more powerful. And I'm like, maybe Nintendo's the only one that got it right, whether intentional or through happenstance. Like, they nailed a strategy that ended up working beautifully. Like, they still provided generational leaps in performance, even when going from console to handheld, right? Which is something Sony and Microsoft absolutely are not in position to do. There's no way that they deliver something stronger than the PS5 or the Series X in their next generation console in a handheld form factor. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have to be a downgrade. And so you end up looking at this, and I agree with you, Derek. It's like, what are we going to do next? 8K games for $89.99? Like, what's going to happen with the future of gaming? I don't want to buy 8K televisions yet. I certainly don't want a console that can run an 8K game when I look at how big the current generations of consoles are. It's just a mess. And so I do wonder, like, are we in a place where Sony and Microsoft need to scale their ambitions back a bit and say, okay, the hardware is good enough. we need to scale back the scope of some of these games so that they can remain affordable.
And Nintendo recognizes mid-level games like Mario versus Donkey Kong. Probably not too expensive to make. Probably not huge hit, but probably sold well enough that it was worth it. It's just like, here's a smaller game for you to enjoy. Again, Princess Peach Showtime. I can't imagine the budget on that game is too huge, but it's still something to get people interested in and get you into that. Like, they have these smaller scale games that they can put out. And I guess in the same way, we're getting freaking Endless Ocean. What the heck?
I know. Yep. Endless Ocean. That's just out of nowhere.
Such a weird choice.
And still before Rhythm Heaven, which I'm just never going to be okay with. But, you know, that offline, I also agree with you. Games on the scale of Hi-Fi Rush need to be the norm. I want more fresh, like, AA middleware style level of, like, just fresh ideas like that. Hi-Fi Rush came out of nowhere, impressed the hell out of everybody, and really stood out without being a AAA, you know, multi-million dollar game. And that's what we need more of. Like, more stuff like that. I couldn't agree more. And on that note, since it's coming to PS5 now, every single one of you watching, promise me you will play it, because you should, because it's amazing. So don't sleep on it. Promise me. I think in the long term, Nintendo has really struck the right chord in terms of not always chasing power. I mean, there was that quote last week or maybe 2 weeks ago that Sony considers the PlayStation 5 to be in the latter part of its life cycle. And I'm like, huh?
Be fair. That was a misquote. They said the latter half.
Good. The latter half.
So,
okay.
Which, to be fair, I mean, it is a 3-year-old console. Like, I'm fine with it being in the latter half.
True, but it's
life.
Just weird. Like, it.
I don't know.
A lot of people feel like it hasn't gotten started.
I'll be honest, though. Like, so, I agree with those sentiments to a degree. However, I also miss the days. Like, I remember when Sony in the PS3 era started saying the console generation is 10 years now, and I was like, no way. Like, I don't want to not live to see the PS8, you know? Like, I want these things to
see. I was okay with that, because the most games I ever bought for a single console was the PlayStation 3, just because that console cycle lasted so long. So I did not.
On one hand, I find it like it's. I mean, I will admit it's objectively good for consoles to have longer tails, right? But I do think, on one hand, we've kind of normalized the mid-gen refresh, which in previous generations would have been the generational leap, right? Like, the PS4 Pro at 4K would have been enough. But I do think we're rapidly reaching a point where console generations are losing meaning. Like, what are you gonna do if you tell me that we need a better console than the PS5 right now? I'm gonna say why.
Like, no, we don't. I agree with you.
What could a new console do that the PS5 can't? Like, I haven't yet played a game on the PS5 where I'm like, God damn, this is held back by hardware.
Like, exactly.
It's not the Switch where I'm playing, you know, Tears of the Kingdom at 18 FPS and thinking this could be a little better if you had more horsepower to work with. So I don't know. I mean, every time I hear PS5 Pro, I'm like, for what? For who? Like, who's the pro that needs it?
Yeah.
I know there are some people out there who want true, you know, full 4K 60 FPS. I don't care. Like, playing Spider-Man 2 at the 40 hertz mode was amazing. And like, when you see games that look like FF7 Rebirth, FF16, Spider-Man 2, Horizon Forbidden West, I still can't believe that game looks the way it does at 60 FPS. Like, that game looks insane. And what? How do we need more power? Like, why? Seriously, why? We're fine with where we're at. At least, you know, we seem to think so. But yeah, obviously, Nintendo could, you know, they need to pump up the specs for their next hardware, of course. But at the same time, I still go back and play games like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and I'm like, man, I know the Switch was underpowered when it launched 7 years ago, but this game still looks so damn clean, like. Yeah. It still looks, I mean, obviously Nintendo are masters at developing around, you know, hardware deficiencies. They're very good at that, which is why Tears of the Kingdom exists. But I still play some Switch games, and I like Smash and Mario Kart. I'm like, this still looks good to me by today's standards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, even though I do know it's time for an upgrade.
Yeah, for sure. I'm watching Side Order off to the side right now, and it looks plenty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3 says off the line. The animation in that game is off the wall. It's so good.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead. Really do appreciate everybody here in enjoying the conversation, but I think we should go ahead and hop over to our patron topics for this week. And right off the bat, who should go first out of all of this, out of all of us?
I'm gonna play host choice and just select one for me because I'm not gonna lie, I forgot. I totally forgot.
I have you guys in partner chat saying don't forget to pick a topic.
Yeah, well, okay, to be fair though, in the studio I have a 7-inch prompter screen, and then
Oh,
I
nice.
usually have the TV for like other things, but right now my TV's being used. So
And that is something I should mention because I've seen people say how you're a bit fuzzier than everybody else, and that's because I blew you up a bit. Because of your new setup, you're generally farther back than you used to be. So if I kept it to a good visual quality, you'd be a lot smaller. So it's like
right.
Yeah.
trying to
Sorry,
decide between that.
folks.
So you end up a little fuzzy because of
Next
me.
GVG cast, I'll move the camera closer so that Derek doesn't have to blow me up.
But I. That's an interesting way to put it. Just blow him up. He's exploding,
Exploding.
exploding onto your screens. All right,
I was
Ash, do you
thinking
want
exploding. Derek or Ash was thinking something far worse.
Oh, you know I was. You
Oh,
know
of
my brain
course you
always
were.
goes to that place, man.
Dirty
Well,
bird.
what was your, what's the topic that you chose, Ash?
So I picked Wataniac's topic this week, and so Wataniac asked, "Are there any games slash movies slash TV shows that are special to you because you associate them with your parents?" For them, I have a soft spot for Ms. Pac-Man because it's the only game my mom liked to play. And looking forward, are there any of those you hope to pass on to your kids? They're personally very happy that the first game they played and enjoyed with their daughter was Yoshi's Woolly World. We also have a lot of fun with Pokemon Puzzle League and Tetris Effect. Hopefully, she'll look back on those games as fondly as I do for the same reason. So, two out of three of us are dads. I figure this would be a fun one to talk about. I can't answer the second part of the question because I don't intend on having kids, but I certainly have games I associate with my own parents in a positive manner. And for my dad, that would be both Star Fox 64 and Mario Golf. I'm not even a golf fan. I'm not even a Mario Golf fan, but he and I played so much of the original Mario Golf together on N64, and I always associate that with a really positive time in my life. Same with Star Fox 64. He got really. I still remember the day he took me to pick it up. I think it was like Toys R Us, which of course that's dating me. But I had a that summer. I had a typing class every Saturday morning, and I remember how excited I was to pick up Star Fox 64 after the typing class that particular Saturday morning. And he got really hooked on the multiplayer with me. So he and I would play Star Fox 64 multiplayer all the time together. And then moving back even further, NHL 93, which is a wild one because I'm not into sports games, you know that. But my dad was really always really into hockey, and I watched a lot of hockey with him growing on or growing up. So I kind of developed a particular, appreciation for hockey out of all sports. And so he and I would play the Sega Genesis version of NHL 93 together constantly. And he was better at it than I was. He watched me all the time. And then with my mom, weirdly enough, Silent Hill 2. She loves horror movies and games, and so she was really into Silent Hill 2 and the story and wanted to play it with me. So we played it together. I would play and she would watch, and she got really into just everything about that game. And then also another reason I've mentioned one of my a very special game to me is Illusion of Gaia. It's one of my favorite Super Nintendo games for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is my mom. I got really into, or she got really into it with me. The whole thing, it's like takes place in an alternate version of like real world history, and you actually go to like different actual ruins around the world, like Angkor Wat and the Nazca lines and things like that. And she was an archaeologist early in her career, so she was really into that. And so she and I really enjoyed Illusion of Gaia together. So collectively, those five games are all games I really associate positively with my parents.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve?
All right. So for games I associate with my parents, I'm gonna leave my father out of this. He's not cool. My dad, who is like traditionally, stepdad, but I associate most closely Star Fox with him. And the reason that I do that, not 64, but like OG SNES Star Fox. And the reason I associate that with him is because he bought me my Super Nintendo when I was a kid. When he met my mom and they got together and they decided they wanted to like move in together, get real serious, he tried to find ways to curry favor with each of us. And for me, that was buy the guy a Super Nintendo and he'll love you forever. And it did work. I love you, Dad. But he didn't care much about my Super Nintendo, like, as I was, you know, because obviously I had it forever. And I was, I bought tons of games for it, but more than buying, I rented, because I was a kid in the 90s. And what did you do? Like, you couldn't buy every game you wanted to try, so you rented them as often as you could. And I rented Star Fox. I was really into the idea of it. And it was the first game that I ever recommended to my dad, because my dad is a big sci-fi nut. And I was like, well, this is a sci-fi ass game, so maybe he'll really like it. And I was like, hey, Dad, come to my room. I want to show you the game I rented. And I was playing Star Fox. And my dad, very out of character to that point in time, was like, hey, can I borrow your Super Nintendo and play this?
That's awesome.
He's like, I want to hook it up in my room and just play the game. And I was like, yeah, like, why not? And so my dad took my Super Nintendo and hooked it up in his room. And I didn't see it for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
And my mom at one point came to me furious. And she's like, I just found out we owe like $70 to the rental store for Star Fox.
Oh.
And I'm like... And my dad, like, immediately huffs up and is all mad at me. And he's like, yeah, why didn't you take it back? Ah, like, you know.
Your
and
fault then, now.
Yeah, it's my fault. And my mom leaves, leaving my dad to it. And he's like, look, man, I'm really sorry. You're not actually grounded. I just don't want to get in trouble with your mom. I'll take it back and I'll pay the fee.
Hilarious.
Just pretend you're grounded when you see your mom.
Pretend you're like, grounded. Amazing.
I was like, all right. And he's like, yeah, you can just play your Super Nintendo in my room. Unless your mom's home. And I was like, okay.
That's hilarious.
Amazing.
So my dad was a real one for that. With my mom, I associate Animal Crossing New Horizons, because my mom historically has not been a gamer for all of her life. And then when the pandemic struck, she watched my review at GX of Animal Crossing, which I didn't even know she followed what I was doing on YouTube at that time. And she started asking me questions, and then she bought the game, and then she was like, I really want to visit your island and come see you. So it was like this touching little, like, my mom finally getting into this thing that I've been all about most of my life. So she came and visited my island and started sending me letters through Animal Crossing during the pandemic, which, I mean, just hit different because we couldn't see people anyway. You know, and at that time I lived really far away from my mom, as I had for most of my adult life. And so it just was comforting in a fun way to, like, you know, open up Animal Crossing and see something from my actual mom in Animal Crossing, you know. So yeah, I would say that that's, you know, an easy one for me, because it's literally the only game my mom's ever played. I think since then she's picked up like two more games and that's it. Like, every time I go to her house, she's like, can you remind me how to hook up my Switch? I want to try it again. I'm like, all right.
Sure.
Cool, mom.
We got a first-time chat from Mick Sponkers saying super wholesome, which, yes, you're right, but I also just wanted to say Mick Sponkers because that name is so good. And also, yes. Thank you for the first-time chat from Amerigunner as well. Thank you both for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. The other half, Ash, was about games we associate with our own kids. Is that right?
Or no, games that you want to pass on to your own kids. Like,
oh, I've already done the work, my guy. My kid's like almost 11. She
go.
It's Luigi's Mansion 3. Like, that, I think that'll be the game she holds dear, because that was the first game we ever played completely through together. And I know I think it's special. Like, when I play it, I'm like, oh, I think about my kids every time now. But yeah, that would be the game. I won't belabor the point. Eleanor's too young, so eventually I'll find a game to pass down to her.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
For me, I don't really have any game that I associate with my mom. She never really got into games, although she did listen to me talk about games a lot, so I always appreciated that. But she never had a whole lot of interest in playing them. Like, best I got was Wii Sports, but my dad was the one I could get into games at different points. And the two that stick out to me the most that he really got into, almost to the level of Steve's dad, was Command and Conquer, the Command and Conquer series. I got it from a recommendation from a friend on PC, and I was playing it, and he would just watch. He'd come over and just watch, because our computer was in the kitchen. That's just how we had it set up. It's just, because it's the old days. There's no computer room. It's just in the kitchen in the corner. There you go.
Right.
And so he would come over and see, watch me play and kind of get into it. And he's like, all right, how do you set this up? What do you do? What's the things? And I set him up with the, you know, the campaign, and he'd play through it, and then he'd beat it and then want more. He'd want to keep playing. And fortunately there's a skirmish mode, and I swear to God, my dad got to the point in most Command Conquer games. I think the ones he ended up playing up the most is Command Conquer Generals, which is only okay, but it just was the most recent one and the one he just kept playing. And he would put it on skirmish mode, have all the PC, all the max, crank up the max amount of enemies he could fight, so max amount of teams, put them all on the same team, and max out their difficulty. And would still win. I have no idea how he did it.
That's amazing.
The man was just
unstoppable.
He just knew what he was doing. I'm like, holy! I'm like watching him do this, and he just could manage it. Like he put out just enough stuff that he could turtle and get his stuff built up while also having just enough out there to defend. And I'm just like, okay, there you go. On the complete opposite side of the... No, he didn't. He wouldn't know how to cheat, Magius. On the other side of the spectrum, his other game he really liked to play with was Harvest Moon, Back to Nature on PlayStation 1. He just...
Oh, wow.
He got, again, really into the efficiency of farming. He just knew how to get this to get the mayonnaise for this in order to get the most money and all this. He didn't care about the relationship stuff. He just, like, I think he had one girl he was interested in, the one who likes booze. And he's like, yeah, I gave her some booze on occasion. And okay, she's my wife. And he had a notepad nearby. He would write down all the recipes that they would give on the TV so we could recreate them later in the game. So he was just completely into it. So that was wholesome to watch.
Nice.
As for passing down to my kids, I mean, Amy's sort of done the work for most of the kids, because I can guarantee right now Cindy's playing Splatoon. That's all she plays, and she was literally counting the days till side order, so she has been enraptured in that.
Ooh, do you know if she's cleared side order yet?
She might do
it. She's like a beast at that game.
She might do it tonight. On her second run, she got to floor 30 and unfortunately died.
She died on
floor 30 on her second run. So I'm pretty sure this third run she's going to get it. But she was so sad because she was so close.
Ah.
Yeah, that's wild. 430 is not easy if you don't have a ton of power-ups.
Yeah, she's on the ball. Ryan is just a little bit of everything. He likes retro. He likes modern. He likes a lot of Nintendo stuff. He also loves Fortnite. And Chase is into his... war games. He loves Hearts of Iron 4, which I have very little knowledge about, but he loves that historical stuff. But I also managed to get him into Final Fantasy 7 Remake, and he never played the original, so he did play that. He's like tempted to want to get his own PS5 so he could play Rebirth.
So I have to ask Derek, how much of a battle is it going to be for the PS5 in your house next week?
He knows it's mine.
Oh, I was more concerned about Amy trying to take it. I don't know if she.
Oh
plays,
no, she.
I know she plays 14, but
yeah, she plays 14, but she wouldn't. I think she'd probably prefer just watching me play 7 Rebirth. Mm-hmm. So that's all that.
Okay.
As for Kai, he really likes watching Mario Kart. We'll stick with that. I don't have any. I'm not going to push him one way or the other. I'm just going to see what he kind of gets into. But I will say he's been the most entertained watching Mario Kart, and of all things, and I love the taste, good taste here, me playing Theater Rhythm.
Nice.
He liked watching and listening to me playing Theater Rhythm. So
he's got some great taste.
Yeah. So that felt good.
Nice.
Steve, I don't know if you've picked one out yourself yet, but I'm going to go ahead and toss it to you if you have not.
Please do, because I don't have my monitor is stuck on the TV I can't use.
Okay. This comes from Hendrix Trog. With Microsoft now confirming some of their games will be heading to Sony and Nintendo consoles, what Xbox games would you be interested in playing or replaying on another platform?
Man, easy. Master Chief Collection. Like, give me Master Chief Collection. Give me Rare Replay. As far as something more original, like, you know, developed specifically for Xbox, I mean, Master Chief Collection clearly was. Jet Set Radio Future Like, say that. I want that to leave Xbox and come to something else. I would, man, I'm trying to think what else is there that I would want to play that was Xbox exclusive.
I bet Boltmouse has one for you. Killer Instinct 2013.
Yeah, KI 2013 would be great. I bet it could run on Switch too. It was an Xbox One game. And I mean Switch, comma TOO, not Switch 2. I also would love to see, what was the Insomniac game that was made for Xbox? Sunset Overdrive.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think the soundtrack is grating as hell, but I would love to play that on not Xbox at some point. And I think it would be a perfect fit for Switch. I think Switch could run it no problem. Dead Rising 4 was not, or was Dead Rising 4 Xbox exclusive? I don't think it was. I think it's on PlayStation.
Yeah.
But as far as one of the big things I see with Microsoft is that their internally developed titles are so few in number these days that it's really hard to, you know, say anything else. Like if we're breaking Switch out, I'd like to see. I don't know that I'd love to play it because I found the game supremely disappointing. But Starfield could find a new audience outside of the Xbox ecosystem. I'm gonna say my number one choice though has to be Master Chief Collection because I love all those games. I know I love all those games. Followed very, very closely by Rare Replay. I mean, we got a chunk of Rare Replay thanks to the NSO update.
Yeah, a little bit
at the end of
the
direct,
a few of the games at least.
Yeah, Blast Corps. I can't understate how happy I am to have both Blast Corps and Jet Force Gemini on NSO.
I know.
All I need now is Conker's Bad Fur Day.
That'll never happen.
I will be set. Yeah. You know what? I would have said that it wouldn't happen, but one thing that I believe, based on nothing, based on absolutely nothing, is that 95% of these decisions are driven by NCL. Right. So I don't think the NOA has nearly as much say as they say they do in what games come to the Switch. I think that they definitely have input on what Western audiences would like. But I think the NCL ultimately just has overriding veto authority and just, I would say, more often than not goes with like, well, we think this and we're going with this. And they have an 18 plus N64 NSO app already. With like what, one game in it?
Yeah, that's true.
Put Conker in there. Just put Conker in your Dirty Bird app and let me play it.
I'm still waiting for Diddy Kong Racing. I want that still on NSO.
I never played Diddy Kong Racing, so I don't have an opinion about it one way or the other. But I understand that it has fervent fans and I assume it earned it for good reason. But for me it's just Conker is such a slice of like that.
Yeah,
late 90s, early 2000s time in my life that I would love to have it. And the Xbox version, the one that released on Xbox, is objectively worse. It's like more censored than the N64 version.
I know. So weird.
Give me Dirty Conker.
Is on the same note, I never got to play Blast Corps back in its day. For whatever reason, it just missed me by, and I've always heard great things about it, so I'm actually really excited. Finally play it for the first time.
I have fond memories of being a high school degenerate playing that game.
I've not touched it either, but I'm like, well, that's what game club's for.
Yep. Me and my best friend at the time, like, we stole some of his dad's beer and we played Blast Corps.
Amazing.
And it was, I don't know if it was a good time because we were drinking terrible beer, but it was a good time. I liked it. The only reason I haven't played it yet is because I haven't charged my NSO N64 controller, and I refuse to play N64 on the Pro controller. It's just too weird for me.
Okay,
yeah, fair. What about you, Ash? Did Steve leave any for you?
A couple. So I was going to say Jet Set Radio Future for sure, but also I always heard great things about Panzer Dragoon Orta. And I never had the original.
Oh man, how did I miss that?
I was actually on my list as well.
Okay. There are a few games that are very specific to me that they would never be brought over because most people aren't crazy like me and want to play DDR games on controller. But the Xbox always had the exclusive DDR Ultramix and Universe series, and I would love to have those be playable on other platforms. Again, they're not doing DDR home stuff anymore at all, so it doesn't really apply. But, you know, I figured some other Xbox-exclusive games to mention. But the other one that I just mentioned earlier, actually, funny enough, is Hi-Fi Rush, and it is coming to PlayStation. So I'm glad that I'd be happy to replay that game on other platforms. And I do hope that it eventually comes to the Switch sequel, the Switch successor, whatever you want to call it, because I don't think the Switch 1 is powerful enough to handle it at 60 FPS. And that's a game that really does demand 60 FPS. And it really needs to look as good as it does. But I do hope that if the Switch 2 can handle it, which I assumed it probably would be able to, that we see Hi-Fi Rush on that platform as well. Because everybody needs to play it, damn it. Everybody.
Yeah, I will. You guys have mostly covered all the big ones, but and I was gonna be original, but then Dan Alpha Lion in the live audience chat stole it. Lost Odyssey. I've always wanted to try
Oh,
Lost
good
Odyssey.
one. Yeah, I never
Yeah.
finished. Yeah, I kind of dropped off it. I should. Yeah, that's true.
Should have just
So.
said Blinks the Time Sweeper.
You know what? Why
Yeah.
not? That'd be funny to see again.
Blue
That
Dragon
would be.
as well. That was exclusive, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
Psychonauts 2
exclusive, but
escaped
I've
Xbox,
not.
didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But I've not heard
It
as good
did.
of things about Blue Dragon. I've always heard it's a little
Same.
slow.
I
I always
didn't
heard
love
better
Blue
about Blue
Dragon.
Dragon.
I
Yeah.
bought Blue Dragon for the Toriyama designs because he was involved in that game, and I played it and I was like, nope. Not Toriyama can't save this for me.
Yeah, I heard it's not as good, but that's fine. Play Dragon Quest. as for my topic this week, comes from Zombie Joe saying, "What games would you like to see remade in the same vein as Final Fantasy VII Remake, where it's originally a single game, but now it gets massively expanded upon, additions made to the lore and game mechanics, and stretched out into more than one game?" The first one that came to my mind, Xenogears.
Oh, yeah. Hell
Ooh,
yeah.
Xenogears, because it could do it. It could totally do it because there's content in there that they didn't even expand upon in the original game. So expand that
Right.
stuff, fill it out, tell the full story, really go hard on it. It'd be chef's kiss.
That's a real, and especially with the, Star Ocean 2 remake, having that HD 2D style. God, that would be perfect for Xenogears. Oh, that's a good one. I don't know if I have one that would be as exciting as that. I'm trying to think. I mean, Derek, you and I have both talked about how we would love to see a Resident Evil 2 style remake of Parasite Eve, like over the shoulder, that kind of, more action focused. I still think that would be amazing, but I don't know that it needs to be expanded on more
Yeah,
than
I
the original
don't
game
know if it
itself
needs two
already.
discs worth. That's more of Resident Evil
Yeah,
2
yeah.
style remake, yeah.
I'll go with, I'll, you know, I'm gonna say Mega Man Legends. The Mega Man Legends, make it bigger, dig into the lore more, just make a bigger, better, modern Mega Man Legends. And really, one of the coolest things about that series, and one of the reasons fans still want Legends 3 all this time later, is because Legends 2 ended on a huge cliffhanger, and not just with Mega Man himself, but also the lore behind what's really going on in that universe. And there are some really interesting stuff they explored with the lore in Mega Man Legends 1 and 2. And I say, yeah, remake Mega Man Legends, still the same core game, but just make it bigger. Catalox is bigger. It's a whole open city to explore now. There are more ruins to explore. There are more story beats. But yeah, I think just digging into Mega Man Legends and making it bigger and better and deeper, which, yeah, that's going to get clipped, is the, it would be the way to go. I think that'd be really exciting. What about you?
Man, so my example is not nearly as apparent as Derek's because Xenogears, like the ending of that game, is like, yeah, we ran out of time and money. Here's your ending.
Yeah.
But it reminded me immediately of another game that gave me a similar feeling, and that's MGS5. Like,
Oh, yeah, that's a good
MGS5, you
one.
hit the ending and they're like, now we're in the storyboards, boys. We're just gonna narrate some pictures of a kid and Metal Gear and I don't know. Like, it's basically like someone at Konami was like, we're gonna fire you very soon, Kojima.
Yeah.
Finish the story. And he's like, yep, little kid, Metal Gear, stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you go. They're like,
Bunch of
we're
gone,
definitely
we're
firing you
done.
sooner now. Yeah.
That's a good
So
one. Yeah.
I would love to see MGS5 actually fleshed out and get an ending that was more than like just a couple of sketches that they clearly, had. I mean, I don't know. I hope someday the full story of what happened between Kojima and Konami is told.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, as much as, no, I'm not even going to try to couch it. I don't get the hype. Like, I understand his games are good, but they're not so good that he gets to be this weird all the time. And
Life on tour.
so, yeah, it's like, I mean, come on, man, you're not better than Miyamoto. or Aonuma. Like, let's be real, okay? Like, you're not even the best Japanese developer, let alone the best developer in the world. Like, you're not the best in your own country, let alone the planet. And even though I would, in my view, my favorite developers are all in Japan, but I mean, I'm just saying, Kojima's not as cool as he tries to make us all think he is. But his games are getting progressively weirder, man. Like, Death Stranding's really, really weird. But yeah, I think that there's just I don't know. I want to see MGS5 finished, and but I do think that there may have just reached a point where Konami's like, all right, man, like, we get it, we get it. Your stuff makes people think. You know, like, can you just finish it though? Like, can you please finish?
Yeah.
It is too bad, though, because I actually still, all these time later, I still go back to that MGS5 Red Band trailer and rewatch it and just lose myself in the hype and what if the game had actually delivered on the story hype of that trailer, how different and how much more exciting MGS5 could have been. I don't think I've ever experienced a wider gulf in my gaming life between a trailer and its final game than the Red Band trailer compared to MGS5 and how it turned out.
MGS5 got a lot of praise when it came out, and as I was playing it, I was like, no?
it's one of those cases where there's, well, no, I don't think it's as bad as that, but it's one of those things where you're like, there is a hype to that, and then you play it, you're probably also under pretty tight deadline, so you're like, yeah, I'm enjoying this, I'm into it, but then you stop and think. I was like,
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, before I joined the industry, I remember reading reviews for games and being like, what? Like, did you play this for 3 days and then you decided it was game of the year? But I find that is just an unfortunate truth of the industry. Like, you get past a review code for a game, and when you get more than a week, you're like, oh my God, I have so much time. Like, I remember one of my earliest reviews I ever did was for Disgaea 5, and NIS gave it to me. And I'm not kidding. 6 months before it came out.
Man, you could just, and I was like, you could actually try to,
what?
Like, amazing. Long time for a month.
I had gotten South Park, the Stick of Truth, with 4 days. And they were like, you can have the review up in 4 whole days. And I was like, that's a whole RPG I gotta play. And so I, back then, because I was not known to anybody, I would send out review code requests like months in advance, right? And I was like, please, if you find room for me. And I sent out one for Disgaea 5 like right when it was announced. Like, just to, and they responded with a code. Oh, and I was just, God, like, I don't, this is the most insane thing that's ever happened. Like, I called my brother, because my brother's like a Disgaea super fan, and I was like, do you know what I'm playing right now? And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like, log into your PS4 and look at what I'm playing right now.
Nice.
And back then they didn't tell you to like hide your games or hide your online status. So I was just on my PS4 with Disgaea 5 running, and my brother was like, I'm going to fucking kill you. Like, how'd you get that?
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say finish MGS5. I just want to know what Kojima's actual vision would have been if he had been given the time, even though I'm sure it would have been crazy, weird, and a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as much as I too, Steve, I don't drink the Kojima Kool-Aid, I do have to say, when he hits, he really does hit. And Goldmember PB made a great point in our chat a minute ago, saying Kojima pretty much predicted the future with MGS2's ending scene. And you know what? That's kind of true. It's kind of wild, actually, when you go back and see just how much he was right about certain things, about, you know, echo chambers and it's pretty wild.
It's kind of weird. But before we wrap up things for this episode, because we are at the end, there's a few things I should mention. One, I apologize for this. We usually do it at the beginning, but because of the shift in everything, I kind of forgot to do it. We got some birthday shout outs, patron birthday shout outs. First up, Noah Fitterer with their birthday last Saturday on the 17th. So happy belated birthday to you. And then Jaden Buck, this weekend, Sunday, the 25th, happy birthday to them. Seesaw on Monday, and Bella on the 28th. So yeah, happy birthday, both belated and upcoming, to all of you. Sorry for that, it's so late in the episode, but glad I got it in there at the very least. So yeah, I apologize.
Happy birthday
for that. And the one other thing I will mention is that Claxon donated cheered 200 bits specifically for you, Ash. And we'll just keep this short. What can you do, say to sell him on Final Fantasy 16?
Oh man, I would say the highs are really, like, there's some pacing issues, like I said, but the story and the characters are top notch. And when you get going and you really get into the lore and it starts really taking off, it's a wild ride. And also the boss fights, some of the most insane boss fights I've ever experienced in my entire gaming career. This is a game that feels like it has multiple boss fights that would be final bosses in other games. It's wild. So the boss fights too, yeah. It's just the epic scale of it all, for sure.
Yeah, cool. Well, that about covers it for our episode this time. And I just appreciate all of you being here and migrating over to Twitch. If you want to see the VOD, of course, it'll be on Good VODs Gaming, if you check that out. And of course, it'll still be going up on podcast services, so you can look forward to that. Otherwise, though, we do have to give a special thank you to all of our patrons at the producer tier and above. This show simply would not be possible without all of you. It's supposed to be running right now. There it is. There's all the producers. Look at all those wonderful people there. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Really do appreciate it. And hope you all just have a lovely weekend. I am stalling because I'm still trying to get stuff up here. Of course, we also have to give an extra special thank you. Why am I missing? I just noticed that. I am not on.
I know. Aerith replaced you, man.
There we are. There I am. An extra special thank you to my our executive producers, just going above and beyond. Thank you all so much. And that includes Brandon Bovia, Cutie Caitlin, Fangs, Z Patty, Sky Blue Flames, Eastman 23, Adam O'Sullivan, Richard Herrera, Logan Daniel, The D-Pad, Blake, Joy Content, Angel Martinez, Vedron, Joshua Hunter, Benny Yao, Azran 127, Black King, Joseph Rutkin, Geeky Griffin, Lucky Wonderfish, Wataniac, Top Dog 23100, Young Ben Kenobi, Andrew Medeiros, Darchy, Ikaro, Dark B Andy, Essex08, Michael McCall, Matthew Wong, Goron Amber CPHT, Too Much Spaghetti, Bane 400, Ascaron809, Rioner, The Game Orb, Super Gamer Dude 101, Mercury, Ravelox, Rosa Pardo Bowling.
Hi, Mom.
Darksteel01, Jason Uloa, Jaden Buck, Cystic Warrior 29, DJ Jurassic, Super Dank Awesome Unicorn Guy, Derek, Colin, Blaystar 25, Twilord, Mumbling Yeti, Cameron Sharp, Keel, Hustlebun, Noah Fitterer, Calvin Atkinson, Brainchild, the entire state of Wisconsin, Jim Wakelin, Zlaker, Aramis Baramis, Kyle the Monarch, Lord Metarex, Blaze Collard, Eric, Cat Eevee Person 5, Peyton Thiel, Mega Beatman True Blue Reviews, Ryan Hanley, The Game Jamie, Zombie Joe, and Marathon Max. Thank you all so much for joining us. If you're wondering why I picked Aerith, Tifa got too much attention. I love Tifa, but I'll be on. Aerith has the better swimsuit. Come at me.
Ooh, I haven't seen the swimsuits yet.
That's a spicy way to end, man.
I the frills suck.
you got the Tifa army coming after.
The frills suck. I'm sorry. I love Tifa. Tifa is the better girl, but Aerith got the better swimsuit. Anyway, thank you all so much for joining.
I think you just managed to piss off both sides, man. You've got everybody coming for you now.
Do it. Anyway, thank you all so much for joining. I know typically with Twitch, there are raids involved. We'll have to figure out how the heck we do all of that and in the future, because typically it comes a bit of a discussion about hashtags and who we raid and all that. So we'll figure that out in the future. For now, though, we're just going to stop here. Thank you all so much and hope you all have a wonderful weekend. And if you can, please join me for Yakuza 0 tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. It would really help me out. So thank you all so much. Till next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.